to episode 47 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Sandy, Amy, Andy, and Elizabeth. The whole gang's here. This week, we are taking on the fascinating topic of travel protection. You might call it travel insurance, trip coverage, or some other variation, but at its core, it's an insurance policy specifically designed to protect your vacation. It may seem a bit dry, but before you skip this podcast, please give this a try. It's a topic that we hate to talk about because no one wants things to go wrong on their trip, but that we also love to talk about because trip protection can truly help you bounce back from vacation woes and get you back on track. So let's get started. So what is generally covered with travel protection?
I feel like we have to do a disclaimer that we're not insurance agents. Mm-hmm. So read the policy.
We deal with insurance a lot.
Technically can't and aren't supposed to give advice of, you know, like you're supposed to read your policy and know what it covers, and we can help you guide you and give you an idea,
but we can talk about the basics of what a policy should cover.
Yeah. Well, there are many different policies,
and they all cover similar
sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think the main thing that people want to know is cancellation covered? And usually trip cancellation is covered in some form. You can read the details in your policy. And also trip interruption. So if, for example, not that this has ever happened, but say your client arrives at the Grand Floridian at Walt Disney World and your daughter starts jumping on the bed and falls off and breaks her arm and you end up in Celebration Hospital before your trip has even technically started. So there is some coverage for that sort of, like, if part of your trip is canceled because, and in that case, your trip probably wasn't canceled. That's just medical coverage. But, if you get injured halfway through your trip and need to leave.
So I have a real life one, not for me, but clients right now that had to leave an Alaska cruise tour early because one of the traveler's mothers back home is not doing well. So she had to leave her trip early. Come home. So she did have travel insurance. So they're covering that flight home. They're covering meals, and they're covering. I'm not sure yet if it's gonna be like a per diem of the days she missed or how they're gonna figure that out. But she'll receive some compensation back for that too. So things that you don't even think about. It might not be you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you,
Amy, you had a real life situation for a trip cancellation as well, right? That Hawaii?
Yes. There was, you remember, was that 2 years ago? There was in Hawaii a hurricane and a volcano, like within a week of each other, two or three of each, something. So the tour company, believe it or not, did not cancel their tour. So we were up. I was up with the clients for like the 24 hours beforehand trying to figure out, should they cancel? Are they going to cancel? Since the tour didn't, they went ahead and canceled. They didn't want to be there and all that. And so they did have travel insurance. They were compensated 100%. However, this is another thing you need to think about when you think about travel insurance. Do you want to go with travel insurance through your supplier, or do you want a third party? So both are good. Both have pros and cons, I think. This client had it through the supplier, so she was compensated back 50% in cash refund, and the other 50% was through a voucher to go back to that company and rebook another trip. So if you want all cash refund, you're going to want to think about a third-party supplier, which we all have access to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. I have a client that went to Disney World this year, and they were coming from New Jersey, and it snowed, and the flights kept getting grounded. They had purchased the insurance. They got there a day and a half late. They did the insurance through Disney, and it covered anything over 6 hours after they were supposed to get there. So they got compensated for 2 days worth of tickets, 2 days worth of meals, and they were very happy about that. They ended up booking an extra night on the end, and the airline was very kind to let them, change that without a fee. But they were compensated for what they missed in the beginning, which was very nice because they weren't sure if they were going to get it since they were adding it on at the end.
So it's right there. That's probably the price of what insurance costs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, they probably get more back.
It certainly pays for itself. I mean, it's the peace of mind. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen leaving your house in the morning.
Right.
But if you're going, you know, halfway around the world or even, you know, traveling in winter where weather can be a factor, like Robin, you just said, or you're going somewhere where you don't know what's going to happen. What you don't know, you know, your luggage might not make it to the other end, mm-hmm. and that's happened, I'm sure, to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a big factor when I was running guided tours around Europe. You know, your passengers would show up, and sometimes their luggage wouldn't. And we had chases around Germany for every catching up with us a day behind where we'd just been.
So, didn't you say you had a situation where it was days before somebody got their luggage, right?
It was only when we got to, I think, Berlin, which was day three or four of the tour. We were there for 2 nights where it actually caught up with us. It would actually, the hotel we just left would call me and say, hey, can you come back? It's like, no, we're 2 hours down the road. Can't really do that right now. Okay, we'll ship it on to the next hotel. Where do we send it? And it would just follow us. And, you know, but people who had insurance were able to get money from the insurance company to go and buy, you know, a few changes of clothes, mm-hmm. underwear,
mm-hmm.
Which is why, to this day, I always travel with a change of clothing in my carry-on.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this question. If that happens to you, do you have to buy the stuff, or does the insurance company, do they give you money right then, or do you get reimbursed later?
I think it depends on the insurance company. And actually, it's a fixed amount usually. There's coverage up to such and so. Yeah. So I had a client who went to Nepal and had trip insurance, and his luggage was 2 or 3 days late. He had to buy. I've never asked him how much he spent on clothes. I can't imagine he spent $100 in Nepal. Okay. However, that's what the reimbursement was, and it was an automatic thing. He filed the claim, and they sent him the full coverage.
Yeah,
it's going to take a little bit of time even if you're somewhere in Western Europe. It's going to take time, so you're going to want to go and spend your own money up front, knowing you'll get reimbursed.
Yeah. Because you want to wear clothing; it's very important.
Clean clothing
in most places.
For me, the big thing about, and the reason I always buy medical cover, or, you know, just insurance, is because I want the medical coverage. Just because I don't want it, I don't even want to have to worry about whipping out my own insurance card when I'm out of the country. I want this number to call, and then it's out of my hands. And
well, in many cases, if you pulled your insurance card out in another country, they'd be like, what is that?
Yeah, they want money. They want to know you can pay. Yeah, and like I've told my dad before, because we took a cruise, and I'm like, you know, once we leave, you know, you have Medicare, you don't have Medicare in the Bahamas, you know, or, you know, stuff like that. So it is definitely something, and people, they don't think, oh, I'll be fine, you know, but they don't think, oh, I might slip and fall and hit my head, or your kid might do that, or, you know, you might, you know, fall.
Get appendicitis while you're on a ship.
Yeah.
And there was a very famous story just recently of a family who got sort of stuck in Mexico because their son had acute appendicitis, had to have surgery, and they had to pay cash for that surgery. And then, you know, so not only is that a case for passports, which was a whole topic for a whole other episode, but that insurance would have covered that.
Yeah.
And so many families sort of get stuck. There's another very, very famous story of a couple ziplining. Young couple, I think they were not even 30 years old, didn't buy trip insurance, ziplining, and a gust of wind came up, blew him against a wall, and he had some acute injuries,
I think that was Mexico. Actually.
I thought it was Mexico as well, or Costa Rica, actually, is what I thought it was, but now it's into the realm of urban legend, but it was really a true story. They were from Michigan.
Well, he was stuck there, too, in that country.
He was stuck they had to pay to get him out, basically, to get the treatment.
You never know what's going to happen, though. I mean, it could be appendicitis. I had a Canadian couple arrive in Frankfurt for one of my tours one time. And I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning from the front desk saying that the husband was having major abdominal pains, ended up being kidney stones, and they decided to cut the trip short and fly back the next day back to Canada to get treatment, mm-hmm. despite the fact that German hospitals had been more than capable of treating it, but mm-hmm. that was their preference and what they wanted to do, and they had the insurance to cover it, and that, you know, you have the choice then,
mm-hmm.
based on your policy.
I think it's so common. I think that the first thing people think of is, I don't need insurance. I don't care how sick I am. I'm going to go. And even if I am sick, once I'm there, I don't care. I already paid for this trip. I paid a lot of money for it, and I'm going to go. And no, you have to think. You have to think beyond yourself. Being sick, there's so many other factors going on around you. Yeah, you're traveling. People you're traveling with. People back home. Just so many unforeseen things. But so back to what does insurance cover? It will cover cancellations. It will cover. If you get sick or a spouse gets sick or a family member gets sick with you or back home.
Back home.
Immediate family member. There are limits there, so it's important to check.
Right? Yeah. And there's different policies you can buy to up the limit, lower limit, whatever. I'm trying to think. Oh, dental. You fall and you break your front teeth on a pogo stick, maybe. I don't
on a zip line.
What kind of trips are you taking, Amy?
For the future.
Well, and there are riders that in the industry are called CFAR, which stands for cancel for any reason. And those cancel for any reason policies, they're not always full coverage. Like you might get paid at 80%, but that literally is in some cases coverage for, oh, you wake up and you don't like the way your hair looks. And so you decide not to go.
Yeah.
So it sort of is a blanket coverage. It is more expensive, but it really can cover you for pretty much anything.
And you usually have to buy that like when you book. So you can buy at different times that you might not be covered for pre-existing conditions or things like that. So you really have to, if you have a pre-existing condition, tell your travel agent so they can make sure you get the right policy.
Well, we don't need to know what it is.
But we need to know that, and
incidentally, and that's the funny thing about insurance too. And again, we're not insurance agents, but insurance can claim pre-existing conditions for some kind of wacky things. So if you don't have protection for something that for a pre-existing condition, if you buy too late for pre-existing condition coverage, and then someone in your family is diagnosed with cancer, if it's before the trip, some insurance companies will consider that a pre-existing condition. So don't think that it has to actually exist when you purchase your policy.
I had somebody who had booked a cruise with me, and the husband is ill. And that I said to him, if you're booking this, I highly suggest you get the travel insurance. They did. The final payment date was coming up, and they weren't sure because there were some things up with the husband. And so I contacted the insurance company, and they said pre-existing condition is for them, for this, because they got it through the cruise line, was 60 days before they travel. That is when the pre-existing condition. That if it's something that happens, you know, if there's so many different things they can't tell you.
Yeah.
And because they hadn't paid the final payment, the pre-existing condition clause didn't come yet. So it was very difficult to get, they were like running around with words.
That's why it's so hard for us. Because we're not insurance agents.
And I asked her to call, and she didn't want to. And Disney was telling me, this is Disney Cruise Line, Disney was telling me that if they don't cover for that, they'll still get 75% back for another cruise for Disney, which is great. But at the time, they didn't need another cruise. They needed to know if they were going to get the money or not.
Right.
So they ended up canceling, but it's nice to know that if they hadn't, they at least would have gotten something back if it wasn't covered.
And I think so many people say, well, I don't want to purchase travel protection on top of my vacation because I already paid for my vacation. And you really need to think of it as part of your vacation cost. And I know that's hard to do sometimes because it is an optional piece.
It's a protection of your investment. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, my credit card will cover that. And it might. I mean, check it out, find out. You have to use the right credit card.
But more often than not, it's just a small percentage of your total investment in your travel experience.
Yeah. I mean,
it can be, $100 on a $1,500 trip or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a small price to pay, really, to know that you've got that peace of mind.
And it's kind of like an umbrella. If you have it, you don't need it.
Yeah, right.
But when you don't have one, you sure get wet.
Yeah.
So, and there are so many horror stories of people needing travel protection who don't have it.
And the worst for me, though, is when you see, like, a news article about some family who got stuck somewhere and people just go crazy, you know, thinking, oh, the cruise line treated them so bad. They should have given them their money back. It's like, well, No, if you give it back to one person, you can't.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why they sell the travel insurance, mm-hmm. and you can't. Businesses don't work that way. Mm-hmm. So don't think that it's just the right thing to do. They should just. You got to protect your investment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? I mean, and it's not that much money. Mm-hmm. It's really a small amount. Really
And that peace of mind that you're buying is worth so much. And I mean, it's traumatic enough to have something happen, but yet to be in another country or to be so far away from home, and I mean, on all over the news lately, there. And things like this happening, and they're stuck there. I mean, the last one, someone broke their leg somewhere, and she had to be med flighted back to the U.S. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have enough money to pay cash for it, so they had to have a GoFundMe account and rely on the kindness of strangers.
And then you've got like, oh my gosh, every time I see a GoFundMe, I get cringy.
And that's the thing too, because you may even say, hey, I have enough money in my bank account that if I broke my leg in Jamaica, I'd be okay. But you know what? If you're at the bottom of a waterfall somewhere where it's really hard to reach you, you got to get evacuated out of there. And you don't take that into consideration. That is expensive.
Yeah.
No, I've seen all sorts of expenses. I remember getting a call in the early hours of the morning in Berlin. We'd been out, you know, having a good time that night. The drink had been flowing. And poor lady had stumbled getting towards her bed and cracked her head on the corner of the bedside table. And, of course, being a head injury just above the eye, it bled like crazy. And she had a slight mild concussion as well. And apparently made it down to the lobby, and they called me and just said, Mr. Simmons, one of your clients is wandering around, and you might want to come down and see what's going on.
She's so bleeding all over.
Yeah, get the video camera. Ended up having to go to the emergency room in the Berlin hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, getting her taken care of. And you know, they wanted payment right there and then because she was an American citizen and, you know, her own insurance didn't cover that, but fortunately she'd taken that third-party coverage. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too.
Because you never know what's about to happen.
If you have that insurance, you'll get, like, a little card, or it's really, like, on the sheet of paper, but you can cut it out for card size and put it in your wallet. But it'll have, like, this is the number you call if something happens. This is your policy number. Mm-hmm. Something happens, you call that number, it's in their hands. They're going to take care of it.
And a lot of these...
So at that point in time, she was bleeding like a stuffed pig. Yeah. I was going to get her treatment to come home with her water.
Yeah. Well, you weren't going to pay for it, though.
Absolutely not.
No.
She was bleeding over the lobby of a 4-star.
They just wanted her out of there.
Yeah. Well, and I
was back again in 2 weeks, and I didn't want to be spoken.
It's very important too. When you're going to Germany, you're like, okay, I'm not going to be in the U.S., so it's very easy to read as easy as it is to ever read an insurance policy and see if you're covered, your own insurance policy. But a lot of people think, oh, I'm getting on a cruise ship. I don't even technically need a passport, again, topic for a whole other podcast, to go on this trip. So I'll be fine because my Cigna, my Blue Cross Blue Shield, my Aetna, my MetLife is going to cover you. Yeah, guess what? As soon as you step on that ship in Miami, you're not on U.S. soil anymore. That ship is registered somewhere else, usually the Bahamas. Right. And so you are no longer on U.S. soil. And you need to look at your policy and be sure that you know where you're covered medically, because you will be shocked to find out.
And even if you're young, I mean, we had a family vacation and my son had a seizure, and I never thought that would happen. Mm-hmm. And it's never happened since, knock on wood. But, you know, I mean, I never really thought about it. And that happened in California, and it still cost me a lot of money out of pocket because we were out of network and, you know, all that stuff. So,
I remember very clearly getting on a Disney cruise ship before I knew that trip insurance was a thing years and years ago. And my son, when he was very, very young, had this allergic reaction to Florida. Every time we went to Florida, he like started sneezing. I don't know what it was in Florida,
he needs some more orange juice.
Yes. He drinks a ton of it now. Maybe that's how he got rid of it. But he would get a runny nose. And of course you go to the cruise line and they ask you, you know, has anybody had a runny nose? Well, yeah, he has. So we had to go to the ship's doctor. And the ship's doctor like examined him and said, oh no, it's allergies. It was disgusting. But anyway, he evaluated his mucal situation and he's like, oh no, it's allergies. And we, for about 10 minutes there, weren't sure we were getting on the ship.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do, because at that point, you know, cancellation is not a thing. You don't get your money back.
No.
Yeah. They just turn you away. Same deal if you forget your passport. I think I know what our next podcast is going to be. I think I brought it up three times.
Get a passport.
Yes.
Don't get the card.
So, yeah, I do think it's really important that people understand that just because you're not sick and because you're perfectly healthy, things can go wrong for you.
I mean, we hope they don't, but it's just nice to have that, you know, peace of mind, security net for whatever. That will cover you in the event that, you know, stuff happens.
My goodness, I've wasted $100, $200, $300 on way worse things.
Yes.
It's not like
it's very true. It's very true.
Good point, yeah.
Better to have it not to use it than not to have it.
Yeah.
Amen.
My parents travel a lot, and my grandmother is almost 95. And they get travel insurance just because if something happens to her and they need to come back, I've been doing their travel for a while, and they always get it.
And I think, you know, we're in this industry, and we see it happen a lot. Andy, you had a situation with a very ill family member, right?
I did. I had a ski trip out west, and unfortunately, one of the parties had a brain injury and ended up not making it back. And so, you know, they didn't have insurance. Fortunately, their own insurance covered them out there, fortunately. But it was a very tricky situation, and additional expense on what they weren't expecting. What was supposed to be a fun dog thing.
Yeah, and I think that's important, too. We're in the industry. We see this a lot, and it's very easy. As someone who traveled a lot before I got into this industry, I really would have never thought it would have happened to me. Honestly, I can tell you that 100%. I never knew anyone who had gotten really ill on a trip. I didn't get really ill on a trip myself. I had some situations. I actually went to an ER in Canada one time. Yay, socialism. And they totally covered me. But I don't even know that that would completely work nowadays. I mean, I was completely paid for by the citizens of Canada. Thank you so much, Canada. But I honestly don't know that that actually works the same way. It was a long, long time ago. So, I think you live in a bubble of this doesn't happen to me, this doesn't happen to me. And we can tell you that we see this every day, not necessarily with our own clients, but we definitely,
we don't want this to be the podcast of all the horrible things. Yes. That we
just trust us.
But bad things happen. Well, in full disclosure, insurance makes our lives easier. It's easier for us to help you when you've taken out insurance, too, because there are big support networks, and a lot of these companies who insure travel have traveled the globe themselves and found the right hospitals for you and the right, you know, there's one vendor we use a lot who actually goes out and checks the hospitals, and there are countries that there are maybe two hospitals, but they won't send you to one of them because the MRI machine in that hospital is only for the king. No one else can use it. And, you know, it sounds really funny, but that's actually true, you know. So, and they know that. So they know which hospital to send you to, so you're not going back and forth and paying a lot of money to do that. I know. It's insane. It's insane.
Okay, so this is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Amy, Andy, Elizabeth, and myself, Robin, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!